First Timothy chapter 4 verse 7. Train yourself to be godly. The word train is different, translated differently in different translations. The Greek word is gymnazo. That is where we get the word gymnasium. You know, we can think of gymnasium where people go and work out, exercise, lift weights, you know, and they just stand in front of the mirror and they just tone their muscle. They just look at their six packs. Before they go for big games, they just work out. You know, I still remember when I was going to college, we used to go and work out, and I didn't have too much muscle, but I would still work out, you know, the horizontal bar. And my friends had a lot of muscle, and they would just build up their body, and they would wear V-neck. And when they talk to people, they will just touch like this, you know, to show off, because they have so much of muscle and a lot of, you know, good body, you know, six packs. They'll just walk around like this. You know, exercising is very good. Yeah, it tones up our muscle. You know, you show your masculinity, and also for women, you know, you show that you are strong. And it is also good for our health. We can kill all our stress, and it keeps us healthy. And, you know, it controls our pressure. And probably we will be able to control a lot of illnesses that attack us. That is where, you know, exercise come into picture. Now these days, people spend a lot of money for exercise. In Roman world, exercise was part of society. And those cultures which are part of Roman civilization, even today, they give a lot of emphasis for workout or exercise, sports, and bodybuilding. Although this word was exclusively used for physical exercise, Paul is using in this passage not to emphasize physical exercise, but he is telling Timothy, you exercise your spiritual life. He is using this word for spiritual exercise. If we were to do physical exercise, we can go to a gym, we can get into some clubs, and we can work out. We can get some instructors. We can look at some tapes, and we can work out and work out our body. But Paul is instructing Timothy, you work out your spiritual life. That is what our discussion today, next week, and the following week. How we can work out our spiritual life. In other words, what are the spiritual disciplines that we can develop in our lives? You know, as we said, if our body is really worked out, it looks healthy, strong, and it is also good for our health. If our spiritual life is not worked out, if our inner man is not strong enough, we are vulnerable. I look around, and I myself, we live powerless. Seven vices Aristotle mentioned: pride, you know, greed, luxury, anger, gluttony, envy, sloth. Although Aristotle mentioned about these things 2,400 years back, even today they rule us. We say we are Christians, we are followers of Christ, but when you look at our lives, we live powerless. We succumb to temptations, and we fall, and we stand up and walk. But God's desire is that we live as a people of power. In several places we read about this one, and we read in Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will receive power, probably to go and preach gospel, to be his witnesses. But in other places we see the Holy Spirit comes upon us and gives us power. Word of God gives us power. Worshipping God gives us power. You know, coming together gives us power. And when we exercise our spiritual life or our inner man, we become powerful inside. In the same chapter, verse 8, Paul says, although physical exercise is good for time being, But spiritual exercise is so important, not only for this life, but also for the life to come. So we have to understand, what is this spiritual discipline? I think spiritual discipline concerns life choices that facilitate a deeper relationship with God. The disciplines or the exercises or the workout, our workouts, that help us go deeper in our relationship with God. That is what Paul meant. Paul is saying, Timothy, you are surrounded by so many people who spend so much time for working out their body, including you, but now you work out your spiritual life. We will see in our discussion what are some of the spiritual disciplines we can have in our lives as Christians. And at the end of today, we will have one principle we will take with us that should help us out throughout this year. The discipline number one, spend one-on-one time with the Father regularly. In other words, you can say retreat with Father regularly, or spend time with the Father regularly. Paul instructs Timothy, he doesn't tell how he should train his spiritual life. He must have modeled before Timothy, so Timothy did not have any problem at that time. Or Paul took it for granted Timothy knew how to work out his spiritual life. But for us, having moved 2,000 years away from Timothy and Paul, we need to understand how we can work out our spiritual life. We can look at the Bible where people have worked out their spiritual life, and we can look at their model. And as I mentioned, our first discipline is spending one-on-one time with the Father regularly. Where do we have this model? And the most important model I look at is Jesus. Turn Gospel of Luke, page after page, Jesus spending personal time with the Father. You know, I always tell people, we cannot be busier than God Himself. God was so busy. Jesus was so busy in His earthly ministry. In those days, He had to walk north and south, east and west. And so many people were following Him because He was healing them. And He was meeting their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. And also He was teaching them. He had disciples to be trained. So many things had to be taken care of. But this is what I see in Luke 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, in all the pages, Jesus took time alone with God. After spending one full day with the disciples and the people, it says He withdrew privately and went away, spend time with the Father, privately praying. Luke 6 says, Jesus withdrew Himself, went to a mountainside, and prayed whole night. And I was just thinking, how can Jesus do that? Jesus is doing because He knows the secret of His spiritual discipline. If your spiritual life is strong, your physical life will be strong. If your inner man is fully disciplined, you don't need to really do certain things for your outer man to be fit. In other words, if you are spiritually fit, your actions will be good. Not the other way around. Your actions need not make you spiritually good. We can be active in evangelism. We can be active in leading worship. We can be active in preaching, teaching. And we can be very active in so many things. But if we don't really exercise our inner man, strengthen our inner man with the right discipline, probably one day we will be burnt out. We will be burnt out. And we will run dry, hit the rock bottom. Whereas Jesus was so fruitful, He was working all day, but He was recharging His life, spending time with the Father. And I see a pattern in Jesus' life. A man who was so successful. Someone who touched hundreds and thousands of lives. Who had, without much publicity, had so many followers. A person who had blazed a trail. We are still walking, and there will be so many generations after us. If his coming tarries, so many will be following his trail. He had a pattern in his life. He spent time with the Lord. And I look at Joshua. You know, one of the most successful men in the history of nation Israel. A rugged man who was a slave came out, and for 80 years he was an assistant to Moses. Once the leadership was transferred to him, he was so afraid when the leadership was given to him. He was telling God had to tell him several times, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, be not be fearful. But once he took the leadership, I see a pattern in his life. Chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. These are the narratives of how they accomplished, occupying Canaan, where we say Joshua rose early morning. Joshua called his leaders early morning, and he mustered his troops early morning. There is a pattern I see. That why he was so successful was because he had a secret life or a time alone with the Father regularly that was giving him both inner energy and physical energy. He, in his old age, he was successful going after place after place, and he was conquering places, a successful man. I see Daniel. Daniel was a man who had patterns in his life. He was a very successful man. God brought him from obscurity, from nothing, from a slave background, to almost to the position of a prime minister. When kings changed, Daniel did not change. When people did not know him, they brought out edicts or commands that they have to worship, people have to worship the king. Still, he did not break his pattern. In Daniel chapter 6, I see when King Darius made an edict that for 30 days, all should worship King Darius, it very clearly says, but Daniel went to his second floor upstairs. He opened the door, he looked at Jerusalem, and he prayed, very clearly says, as he always used to. He had a pattern in his life. A man who was a testimony to the goodness of God, sovereignty of God. Kingdoms go up and falls down, but our God never changes, and I see a pattern in his life. The same way I see a pattern in David's life. We sang several of David's songs today. As a deer panteth for the water, my soul longs after you. This is what I presume. When David composed this song, things were not going all right. Either he was running away from the hands of Saul before he became king, or he was running away from his son after ruling for so many days. He ran away to a kind of dry place. And he was all alone with the Lord, and he saw a deer panting for water, looking for water. And he says, this is my life experience. I will not be what I am had it not been of the Lord. You know, I will not be able to face the difficulties of life. I will not be able to be a successful king. I will not be able to expand my kingdom from Egypt to Syria and north to south. I will not be able to control these two highways if it was not from the Lord. It doesn't happen just like that, but he had a pattern in his life. That we see in his Psalms, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. In some places he says, I will awaken the dawn with a lyre and harp. With my 10 strings instrument, I will awaken the dawn. And he says, as the sand, the ground is looking for the rainwater, my soul is looking for my God, because he had developed a pattern in his life, a discipline in his life. Because of the discipline, he was not pushed down by the circumstances. And he was successful, although he had several failures. We are still talking about David, even after 2,900 years, it is because there was a pattern in his life. That pattern was nothing but a pattern of spending regular time with the Father. And he says, one day in the presence of the Lord is much better than 1,000 elsewhere. Because he has experienced that strength and that power that comes. You know, when we spend one-on-one with the Father, this is what we do. We are just going before God, and we are letting God just saturate our lives, come into our lives in a supernatural way. You know, I look back some of the difficult days that we as family and individually came through. I came to Dallas in 2000. When I landed in Dallas, I did not have any friends, any family members, because my family did not have any relatives here. And Saturdays were free days for me, because Alice and children were not here. I decided that Saturdays I would take time off and spend 4 hours to 5 hours with the Lord. And I would just go and spend time. For several reasons, my family was not with us. And within 1 month, I heard the news Jonathan and Judith were admitted in the hospital. For 15 days, they were in the hospital for some kind of strange illness. They were not becoming all right. And Alice, who all these days, I was taking care of most of the things, and she had to run up and down, and things were not going all right. Here I was all by myself. And I used to just spend time with the Lord. You know, God was just strengthening my soul. And several things God spoke to me from His Word, I still remember. I take my old Bible whenever I want, some Saturdays or some Mondays. I go and say, November 22nd, 2000. December 8th, 2000. Because God speaks. One day God spoke to me, don't go before the Lord, go after Him. One day God said, you know, I will make a way in the wilderness and reverse in the desert for you. Several things, when I go, all my worries, my burdens would just go down. I was taking so much class. I did not know how to take classes in America, because, you know, you choose here, whereas the place where I came from, government chooses for you. So I just signed up for 19 classes, all advanced classes. And I was also working 16 hours in the cafeteria. And I would finish my hours, 16 hours, and I would try to come to class. And sometime I had to turn in 2 or 3 assignments. And I used to have severe back pain, because the stress would hit me on my back. And when I would come to class, I would cough because the stress was so high. But after I started spending time with the Lord, you know, my back pain would just vanish. Because, you know, I now look back and I see, when I was standing on my knees before God, and God was just, you know, throwing His light on me. And in a supernatural way, He was just coming and ministering to me through His Word, through His songs, through my silence, and He was just having His ministry to me. You know, I told Sean, Gerald, and our friends the other day, sometime back when I was going through a difficult time, I used to get some kind of strange headache in the back of my head. One day I went to the doctor and he gave me a medicine. And that helped me for about 12 hours. The following day, the same time, I had the same pain. You know, I went to the doctor, I said, Dr. Babu, would you please give me that tablet? And he said, I will not give you that. You have your God, go and spend time with Him. I came to a small chapel in the middle of the woods. I came and sat there for about 4.5 hours. God visited with me. I don't know how. I cannot explain with human words. If it was, then I would have written a book and I would have become very popular. But God came amazingly and He ministered to me. Because I believe our God knows us in and out. We look at the face of the people, but He looks at our heart, the deep down of our heart, where we are. What are the difficulties we have? What are the stresses we have? You know, He knows our untrained inner man. He comes and strengthens us. You know, I see a pattern in Jesus. I see a pattern in Daniel, David and Joshua. All of them drew their strength from the Father. And they were, so strong in fulfilling their mission. It's not because of their human ability. I believe it was because of their time alone with God. And this evening, I see some common things. You know, they spend time alone with God. We call it solitude. Is, you know, we can just leave aside certain things. Telephone, TV, and our regular friends and regular hangout. And that is what Jesus did. Even His own disciples, He said, "You guys go to Bethsaida. Let me just have some time with the Father." And He spent time with the Father. And same thing with Daniel. We see when everything was not going all right for him, when his religious faith was challenged, he spent time with the Lord. I think that is very important. We as believers must learn the importance of solitude in our lives. And I also see in Jesus, Daniel, David, and Joshua a specific place of meeting God. Just as Daniel met God in the mountainside, just as Daniel met God in the upper room, just as Jesus met the Father in the mountainside, we should find out where we can meet with God. It can be our bedroom, or it can be our library, or it can be our park, beautiful place. God will come and visit with us. It has to be a pattern. When I was talking to this one, with one of my friends yesterday, and he said, "I'm praying, I'm going to church. Is it different from that one?" I would say yes. Going to church, praying are some of the activities we do. But if we want to have pattern like Jesus, Daniel, David, and Joshua, we need to find out how we can have time of solitude, time of silence, a special place, and also a place where, like David, we can just go and look at God and say, "Lord, just as the deer panteth for the water, my soul longs after you." We should be able to worship Him in that, in the privacy of that place. We should be able to go and talk to Him through prayer in the privacy of the place. And we should also be able to listen to Him. And I'm sure several of us can testify how God comes and talks to us. One day, I was just kneeling and praying because we were in crossroads. Not in crossroad, we were in crossroads. We did not know what to do. No finance. No support from friends and families because of our decision to go for full-time ministry. And we had so much of other difficulty and we could not just leave ministry and go to a secular job because we knew we had the call from the Lord. And I was just kneeling down and praying. Someone from the next room or next building, he sang a song, Bible verses. And God spoke to me and I look back. About 20 years from now, you know, backward, God spoke to me. And whatever He said on that day, they are still fulfilling in my life. So what is the lesson? What is the spiritual lesson we learn is spend one-on-one time with the Father today. And what are some of the practical suggestions that we all can do? I'd like to leave two practical suggestions. One is this. Develop a weekly Sabbath plan. Develop a weekly Sabbath plan. I have a coach I work with. Last 1 year I've been working with him. And he uses something called 5-hour coaching. A man I always look upon as someone who has a spiritual maturity, and God has used him amazingly in several ways, touching lives, starting churches, teaching people, leading people to the right direction. Very successful man. Some of you know him here. And I ask him, his name is Bob. I ask him, Bob, what is your success in life? You know, how are you able to do all these things? You look at his calendar, it's full. And he doesn't miss one thing. He finishes everything on time. And he says, he has a Sabbath every week. One day. And it's a Friday. He turns his cell phones off, no TV, and he just spend time with the Lord. And he chooses how he does it. Either he just reads, listens to some tapes, or just sleeps in the Lord. You know, it's something like sleeping in the Lord. You know, he just rests, and God amazingly comes and meets with him and replenishes him. You know, you look at the principle of Sabbath in Old Testament, although it was a religious institution, people, developed as a kind of religious rule or law, but, you read Deuteronomy, it was mainly instituted for replenishing one's life. It is not the master of the family who takes Sabbath, but slaves, animals, field. If we are busier than God, then probably we don't need a Sabbath. God was so busy for 6 days, but he chose to take a Sabbath on the seventh day. And Jesus was going around, but he took his disciples away for a retreat, and where he had intimate relationship with his disciples. For us, as friends and families, lot is at stake ahead of us. Our business, our work, our success, our family, and our fruitfulness. We have to be fruitful. God has called us to be fruitful, and God has called us to be a useful instruments in his hand. What God has given us, we will not be able to do with our human ability. We can say, I have talents, I have acquired skills. These are all very good, but they have to be used by the way God wants us to use. For that, we need spiritual discipline. And I can say that we can take one day off if possible. If not, we can take half a day off every week. If that is not possible, 1 hour off every week. I think, we cannot go down more than or below 1 hour. Maybe on a Wednesday, on a Monday, or on a Friday. We can just shut everything out. And that is a time alone with God. We have to religiously protect that 1 hour. We have to block it in our calendar and say, this 1 hour is my Sabbath with God. If you can take one day, it is fine. If you can take half a day, it is fine. But you must take 1 hour every week with the Lord. That is a practical suggestion. As a church, as friends and families, if we can take, at the end of the year, we can say, how is it working? Am I being spiritually disciplined? Am I being spiritually worked out? We will be able to say, yes, I'm able to be spiritually worked out. We can set aside cooking. We can set aside the internet. For me, if I don't look at my internet in 5 minutes or 10 minutes, that's all, I will be thinking, what is there? What is there? And, if I get an email as much as possible, I have to respond it immediately. But at that time, if that is my Sabbath time, I should turn off my internet, my computer, my telephone. We should be able to spend time with the Lord. Second suggestion is plan for an yearly spiritual retreat. It is not too big. It is not too difficult. But it is wonderful. There is a group called Renovare Group. And there are two people who are very popular. One is Richard Foster. The other one is Dallas Willard. We may have a difference of opinion about them and or about the way they conduct it. But they help people go for retreat. It is not always teaching. This is what I have seen from east to west. In the eastern side, if you go for a retreat, you are taking retreat. No activities. Whereas when you go for retreat here, you go, it's filled with activities. You go to go for the retreat program at 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock. You are busy learning and writing and memorizing, you know, doing some workshops. And finally, you end up coming so tired. But the spiritual retreat that I'm talking about is you go alone, maybe with your family. Just spend a week with the Lord. You know, maybe reading, looking at the nature, looking at maybe going for a far place. It's so amazing. Last week, after many, many, many years, Alice and I were able to spend 3 days in North Carolina. It was just given to us. It was forced on us. But when I spent these 3 days alone with my wife and also one day, just speaking to God, looking at the way God has blessed us and exposing our inner man for His grace, I felt, wow, this is so important. I normally don't take time to tell my wife, oh, I love you. Or I say, you know, there are something, you know, intimately talking, because a lot of time we take for granted, and I was able to tell her how much I appreciate her. And together, we can take time and tell God, God, how much we appreciate you for this one whole year. I think it is a spiritual exercise we can work out. As a conclusion, we will get back to the same verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says, train yourself in order to be godly. You know, that is the sentence construction. It says, train yourself in order to be godly. In all this exercise, spiritual exercise, is not to become spiritually arrogant, not to accomplish certain things that we want to do. They're all wrong motives. The motive of our spiritual exercise, working out our inner man, is to be godly. And I look at several books, and you know, I look at several places for a meaning of godliness. What is godliness? Finally, in light of reading of the scripture, this is what I see. Godliness is a life that is conscious of the sovereignty of God, that is characterized by contentment in daily life and by continued trust in Him for our daily need. I think that is godly. When Paul instructs Timothy to train his inner man, he's saying that training is needed so that you will be godly. That godliness is not to make you a big preacher, is not to make you a big powerful leader, but it will make you godly so that you will understand the sovereignty of God, and you will be content in your daily life, and you will trust Him for every details of your life. May that be our desire this evening. Let God be sovereign in our life. Let us trust Him for our daily needs. And let us be content with all the blessings God has given us. May God help us to make this exercise possible for our lives. With this, we'll just pass before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before You. Lord, we come before You as we are. Lord, everything is plain to You. We can hide before men as spiritual, as godly, but You know who we are. Lord, we need more of You, more than anything else in this world. We need a special touch from You. Lord, we need Your grace more and more. And Lord, we want our relationship with You to be strengthened. And as Paul in several places reminds us, that we be grounded, rooted in You. And You will cause us to see the height, breadth, and Lord, the depth of Your love in our lives. We pray that You will help us to work out, to have a godly discipline in our lives. Just as Jesus has left us the model to spend a time alone with you, we pray that you will give us at least 1 hour a week to spend with you, Lord, a quality time. In Jesus' name, amen.